We're going to be in Romans chapter 15 today as we continue Romans. But I want to remind us of something that I reminded you last week. I'm going to show you this short 1 minute clip because I believe it bears repeating because there's a message in it that's real. And as you watch this, I want you to think about, what did you bring this morning? What did you bring with you this morning? What did you bring to the Lord this morning? Watch this clip.
Come to church, not having done anything. They expect everything to be done for them. They come, do worship to me, make me feel something emotionally. And so then the pressure is on the worship service to provide some kind of emotional response. Okay? And you hear people say, well, I didn't get anything out of that worship service. Well, no, you're not supposed to. I can't see anything in the Bible that tells me what you're supposed to get when you come. I can find a lot in the Bible about what you're supposed to give. The reason to worship comes with me. You should have been with me. I was in the hospital. I was praying for this stuff. I was working with this man who was dealing with his addiction. And I have to tell you what I saw God do this past week. I'm bringing worship. Now, the worship team may give me the form, but they cannot bring me worship. That only comes in response to what I've seen God do in my life.
And Paul is referring to this in a lot of ways in Romans 15. You see, we tend to make it about ourselves. We tend to come to church, and even here, we have a tendency to make it about ourselves. What am I going to get out of this today? What am I going to receive today? And hopefully you will receive. But if you come in the mindset that you've only come to get and you didn't bring anything to give, you see, we're here to honor Him. Not just to sing songs. We sing songs of glory and honor to Him, but do we really give Him glory and honor in our lives? Do we really come here to give Him glory and honor? Do we come here just to feel good around other believers? You see, God wants things to change in our lives. God wants us to change. God wants us to look beyond ourselves, to look to Him. Romans 15:1, we then who are strong ought to bear with the scruples of the weak, meaning the weaknesses of the weak, and not to please ourselves. You know, there's a phrase there, not to please ourselves, that we need to focus on. Oftentimes we come to church and it's to please ourselves. We want to be pleased. We want everything to be just right. We want everything to go our way. And Paul says, we're to think of others. We are to think of others, not to just please ourselves. Galatians chapter 6. Brethren, if a man is overtaken in any trespass, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in a spirit of gentleness, considering yourselves, lest you also be tempted. Bear one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. You see, he says, if anyone is overtaken in a trespass, meaning in sin, we're to help pull them up. We're to give them a hand up. We're to help to pull them and give them an opportunity to be freed from that. But not to condemn them, not to judge them. And he's not saying tolerate sin. He's saying help someone who is in sin to come and break free of sin. Bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. The law of Christ. The law of Christ. What is the law of Christ? James chapter 2 and verse 8, if you really fulfill the royal law according to the scriptures. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. You will do well. If you really fulfill the law of Christ, you'll love your neighbor as yourself. And you see, that's something that as humans we struggle with. Even as Christians, we struggle with. We struggle with our neighbors. Because Paul says, you who are strong ought to bear with the weaknesses of the weak. There are those that are strong in the faith, and there are those who are weak in the faith. But those who are strong in the faith are not to look down or to spurn those who are weak in the faith. Those who are strong in the faith are to give a hand up to those who are weak in the faith. Yes, sometimes that can get a little messy. It can get a little frustrating. It can be stressful. It can be taxing at times. But you know what? Scripture is very clear. You who are strong, bear with those, the weaknesses of the weak, and not to please ourselves. You see, it's easy for us to say, well, you know, they're immature. I don't have time for them. When they grow up, I'll talk to them. You know, if we did that with our children, where would they be? You see, if you're strong in the faith, meaning mature in the faith, you'll operate in a mature way in the faith. Verse 2, let each of us please his neighbor for his good, leading to edification. The word edification there means building up. Building up, leading to building up. Each of us, let each of us please his neighbor. In other words, look for the good. Look for the good in your neighbor. Look to do good with your neighbor. 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 24. Let no one seek his own, but each one the other's well-being. Now there's a lesson there for the church. Let no one seek his own, but each one the other's well-being. You know, it's easy for us to seek our own desires, to seek our own pleasures, to seek our own ways, our own satisfaction. But the Word says not to do that. We're to be seeking the well-being of others, of other believers, giving them a hand up, helping them to grow, helping them to mature in their faith. Verse 3 says, for even Christ did not please himself. Even Christ did not please himself, and yet we desire to please ourselves. Even Christ did not please himself, but as it is written, the reproaches of those who reproached you fell on me. Reproaches means criticism, it means rebukes, etc. And he took them all on. He took them all on himself. Matthew chapter 26, verse 39 tells us this. He went a little farther and he fell on his face. This is Jesus in the garden. And he prayed, saying, oh, my Father, if it's possible, let this cup pass from me. You see, Jesus was real. He was in human form. And he was about to face the most awful thing in humanity, in human history. And he said, Father, if it's possible, let this cup pass from me. Not as I will. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as you will. You see, Jesus could have called 1,000 angels down and delivered himself from that hell he was about to go through. But he said, not as I will, but as God's will. You see, even Christ, Paul says, didn't come to please himself. So why should we live our lives just to please ourselves? Many people even live their faith out to please themselves. Are we willing to submit to His will, just like Jesus did, no matter what the cost is? Are we willing to give up our will for His will? It'll cost you something. You'll have to sacrifice something because our will is different than God's will. Philippians chapter 2 speaks about Jesus. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but he made himself of no reputation. He made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant and coming in the likeness of men. A bondservant is simply a slave. It's a total, complete servant. Jesus made himself of no reputation. Jesus was God. But he stepped out of that figurehead and became man and made himself a nobody. Are we willing to be a nobody? Or do we always want to be somebody? Even in the church. Do we always feel like we got to have a word for someone? Or we got to have something to correct someone? Or to give someone a great word of knowledge? Are we willing to be nobody and just serve? Without recognition even. Just serve. Even Jesus made himself of no reputation. He made himself a nobody. Verse 4. For whatever things were written before were written for our learning, that through the patience and comfort of the scriptures we might have hope. Things written before. Paul is saying, these things were recorded for us. For our learning, for our teaching. Whatever things were written before were written for our learning. This was written before us. But it was written for us. For our learning. So that through what? Patience and comfort of the scriptures. You see, the scriptures bring patience. They teach patience, they show patience, they require patience, and they also bring comfort. Can we put verse 4 back up, please? Through the patience and comfort of the scriptures that we might have what? So the scriptures bring and teach patience. They bring comfort, but they also bring hope. Hope. Hope beyond what we see or know here. And they were written for our learning, for our understanding, for our teaching, to teach us. Romans chapter 4, verse 23. Now it was not written for his sake alone that it was imputed to him, but also for us. It shall be imputed to us who believe in him who raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead. God raised Jesus from the dead. And so what was written is written for us as well, so that it may be imputed to us, transferred to us, made alive in us. That it would become a part of us, what was written, the scriptures. First Corinthians 10:11. Now all these things happened to them as examples, and they were written for our admonition, upon the ends of the ages have come, upon whom the end of the ages have come. Everything that's recorded in Scripture was recorded for us. Everything that happened was happened as examples for us. To teach us, to correct us, to direct us, to admonish us, to build us up. In 2 Timothy 3:16, all scripture is given by inspiration of God. And it's profitable. It's profitable for doctrine, which is teaching, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. That's what the scripture is for. You wonder why we emphasize so much that you get into the Word, that you learn the Word, that you read the Word, you study the Word? Because of this. This is a product of the Word. It's profitable. It's fruitful if it's imputed and imparted in us. And we have that God wants to impart His Word in us for correction, for instruction, and for righteousness, for sanctification, for maturing us, for growing us up in the faith. That's what the Word is for. Romans 15:5, may the God of patience and comfort grant you to be like-minded toward one another according to Christ Jesus. May the God of patience and comfort, He's the God of patience and comfort. The Word, His Word brings patience and comfort. That's who He is. Aren't you glad God's patient with you? I'm glad He's patient with me. If He was as impatient with me as I am with people at times, I wouldn't be around. I wouldn't be around. But you see, the same patience that He has with me and you, He wants me and you to have that patience with each other. And not just patience, but see, He grants us comfort. And He wants us to comfort each other. And that doesn't mean, okay, sin. It means to speak a truth in love and to encourage in love and to encourage with truth. Encourage with truth. To be like-minded. To be like-minded toward one another. What does like-minded be? It means to have the same attitudes, to have the same beliefs, to be unified, and to have the common goal of lifting up the name of Jesus in things that we do, in the things that we say. It means a kindred spirit. Be like-minded toward one another according to Christ Jesus. First Corinthians 1:10, now I plead with you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you all speak the same thing and that there be no divisions among you, but that you be perfectly joined together in the same mind, in the same judgment, meaning understanding. Paul's saying cliques, forming cliques is a sin. He says, I plead with you in the name of Jesus that you speak the same thing, that you all speak the same thing. That means having the same testimony of who Jesus is. And he says that there be no divisions, no dissensions, no separations among you. That's what like-mindedness brings. No divisions, no separations. Philippians 1:27. Only let your conduct be worthy of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Look at that. Think about that. Let your conduct, only let your conduct be worthy of the gospel of Jesus Christ. So that whether Paul says, I come and see you or I'm absent, that I can hear of your affairs, that you stand fast in one spirit. with one mind, striving separately and individually. No, you see, that's what we do. We strive separately and individually. He says that you strive together for the faith. Strive together for the faith of the gospel. You see, Paul in this chapter is saying, it's not about you. And it's not about me. It's about others. It's about those around us. It's about other believers, bringing them up to the unity of the faith, giving them a hand up. Those that are weak, be a part of strengthening them. Using what you have been given by the Lord Jesus Christ. Romans chapter 6, or chapter 15, verse 6. That you may, he says, do this, that you may with one mind, one mouth, glorify the Lord and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. That you may with one mind and one mouth glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. You know, you can't stand with one person and glorify God and praise God and come over here and stand with another person and put down people who are weak that you think are less mature or don't have it all together. You can't do that. He says, with one mind and one mouth glorify God. If you glorify God over here, you need to glorify God over here. If you glorify God here, don't go over here and not glorify Him. Acts chapter 4. Verse 24, so when they heard that, they raised their voice to God with one accord and said, Lord, you are God who made heaven and earth and the sea and all that is in it. This is when they were praying after they had scrutinized and the apostles. They said, so when they heard that, they raised their voice to God with what?
With one accord.
You see, God expects us to glorify Him with one accord. You can't gossip over here at one point and come over here and raise and glorify your hand and glorify God here. Do you think He hears that? You know, because He sees us and hears us in both places. Verse 7, therefore receive one another, just as Christ also received us to the glory of God. Receive one another, that means accept one another, just as Christ accepted you. You know, that's the thing about forgiveness. We're told to forgive, we're actually commanded to forgive, but yet we struggle with forgiveness. But yet he says, forgive just as in Christ you've been forgiven. If Jesus has forgiven you, who are you not to forgive? And here he's saying, accept one another just as Christ accepted you. How did Christ accept you? Just like you were. Now he won't leave you that way. And he doesn't want you to stay that way. But you don't have to get all fixed up and primped up and get it all together before you come to Him. Because if that was the case, you'd never get to Him. No, He accepted you as you were. And when you receive Him, then He begins to change you into what He's designed you to be. and created you to be and wants you to be. Well, guess what? He wants us to treat others, other believers, the same way. Just as Christ accepted you, you accept them. Well, what if it, you know, they're doing this or they're doing that? He says, those who are strong, if you see someone that's in sin, those who are strong, help them out of it. But guard yourself, lest you fall too. Don't be arrogant and think that you're above that and you'd never be subject to that. But you're supposed to help one another. Just as Christ received you, accepted you, you accept others to the glory of God. And that doesn't mean you don't speak truth. Because if you accept someone, you're willing to speak truth. But it's not your job to fix them. It's your job to accept them and to share truth with them in love. And to love them with truth and with grace. Romans 15:8. Now I say that Jesus Christ has become a servant to the circumcision for the truth of God, to confirm the promises made to the Father, to the fathers. Now I say that Jesus has become a servant, meaning the word servant there means minister to the circumcision for the truth of God, meaning those he was sent to Israel, to God's people first. Matthew chapter 15. Verse 24. There was a Gentile woman that showed how much faith she truly had. Verse 24 says, but he answered, and Jesus said, I was not sent except to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. He was saying, I was sent to the house of Israel, to those lost sheep. But it didn't end there. And here's why. I'm going to back up to verse 22. It won't be on the screen, but I'll read it to you. Behold, a woman of Canaan came from that region, cried out to him, saying, have mercy on me, O Lord, son of David. My daughter is severely demon-possessed. But he answered her not a word, and his disciples came and urged him, saying, send her away, for she cries out after us. And then he said, I was not sent except to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Then she came and she worshipped him, saying, Lord, help me. She came and what? She came and worshipped him and said, Lord, help me. And he answered, it's not good to take the children's bread and throw it to the little dogs. And she said, yes, Lord, but yet even the little dogs eat the crumbs which fall from their master's table. And then Jesus answered and said to her, O woman, great is your faith. Let it be to you as you desire. And her daughter was healed from that very hour. You see, even though he was sent to the house of Israel, still they rejected, but he did not refuse the Gentiles. And her faith was so strong, she said, all I need is a crumb off your table, Lord. All I need is a crumb off your table. That's humility. That's faith. Are you willing? Are you willing? Do you come and say, Lord, all I need is a crumb from you? And that crumb would do great things? Second Corinthians. For all the promises of God in him are yes, and in him amen, to the glory of God through us. His promises are true. His promises are right. His promises are good. Romans 4:16. Therefore it is of the faith that it might be according to grace, so that the promises might be sure to all the seed, not only to those who are of the law. The promises of God are for everyone. You know, we sit in church sometimes and we think, Well, yeah, that's a great promise, but that's not for me, but it works in other people's lives. Is that the kind of faith that says all I need is a crumb from your table? You see, God's promises are for everyone. That's why faith is so important. That's why the Word is so important. The Word builds your faith. The Word will give you the faith to believe that all you need is a crumb from Him for great things to happen. He goes on and he speaks in verse 9 that the Gentiles might glorify God for His mercy, as it is written, "For this reason I confess to you among the Gentiles and sing to your name." And again he says, "Rejoice, Gentiles, with His people." And again, "Praise the Lord, all you Gentiles. Laud Him, all you peoples." And again, Isaiah says, "There shall be a root of Jesse, and he shall rise to reign over the Gentiles. To him, the Gentiles, in him, the Gentiles shall hope." And so, see, it wasn't just for the, even though Jesus was sent to the house of Israel, he didn't neglect or reject the Gentiles. And you see, in the church sometimes, we're all up in good graces with God, and yet we reject others who are not there yet. He says, don't do it. Don't do it. It's not right. Verse 13, "May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing." In believing, so that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Are you abounding in hope? Are you abounding in hope? Abounding means overflowing, filled with. Are you filled with hope? You see, He's the God of hope. And He will fill you with joy. Do you have joy? Do you have the joy of the Lord? Well, tell your face so I can know it. You see, we come into church sometimes and we stand and we sing, or we just kind of, we're here. If you have the joy of the Lord, share it. Let it be present. Let it be abounding in you. He says, with all joy and peace in believing. If you believe in that joy, if you believe in His presence, then that joy should be abounding in you. We serve an awesome God. We have an awesome God. But He's not a slot machine that we drop money in to get what we want out of. When we serve an awesome God, we abound in the joy that He gives us. We have the peace that He gives us. All hell can be breaking loose around us, but we have the peace that He gives, and the joy that He gives can remain constant. Amen. Cancer can kill you, but it can't steal your joy and your peace. Amen. Nothing in believing, if you're in believing, if you believe Him, not just believe in Him, but you believe Him, nothing can steal your joy and your peace. Amen. No matter what happens to you. No matter what's going on around you. And it doesn't matter who you are. Abounding means plentiful. A plentiful supply of flourishing. Now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. May He fill you. Did you come with joy and peace this morning? Did you bring that with you this morning? You see, it matters. It matters what this worship team brings. It matters what I bring. It matters what you bring. If I bring darkness and doom and gloom in here in my spirit, guess what? It's gonna spread. If the worship team comes up here full of pride and ego, guess what? It doesn't matter how good the music is or the voices are, it's dead out. We need to bring something to Him. And when we bring something to Him, it enables us to bring something to one another. He'll give us what we need to bring and to give to one another. Let's, worship team, would you come up? Now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing. What are you believing this morning? You know, we say we're a praying church. Are you praying? Do you pray any other time than maybe on Sunday morning? Are you in the Word? Or is the only word you get is what you get on Sunday morning? Let's pray. I want you to ponder some things this morning. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing. Do you believe that He will fill you with joy and hope? Do you believe that He will heal you? Do you believe that He will reveal to you what He wants you to know and to see? Faith is a multifaceted thing. Faith covers a multitude of things. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And if you're not hearing, your faith is struggling. You want to have faith? You want to have strong faith? You want to have supernatural faith? Study the Word of God. The psalmist wrote, I have hidden your Word in my heart that I might not sin against you. You want to break free from sin? Put the Word of God in your mind and your heart. Put the Word of God in your mind. I cannot do that for you. And if the only time you put the Word of God in your mind and your heart is on Sunday morning, it's not going to cut it. It's not going to cut it. You need the Word of God. You want to grow in your faith? You want to be strong in your faith? It comes from the Word of God. Lord, I thank You for Your Word. Your Word that gives strength, that gives life, gives correction, gives direction. Thank You for Your Word. In Jesus' name, amen. Stand.